Okay, so what are some of your personality traits? Andra, you must have an answer. Both. Determined. I like that. Yeah, determined. What else? Independent. I've never known that of you. What else? Joyful. Yeah. I agree with your self-assessment. That's good. What else? Contrarian. Yes, you are. My son is also a contrarian and also with the same name. That's strange, Matt. Fair warning. Anyone gonna name a kid Matt, right? What else? Resistant to change. Yes. Amen. Amen. I married a Rolling Stone, so this is where I'm at. So, what else? Other personality traits? Introverted. Yep. I am too. I know you guys don't believe that, but I think the best definition of introverted is do you gain or lose energy when you're around people, right? And I totally lose energy when I'm around people. Totally introverted. Extrovert. Oh, extroverted. That's fun. What God does oftentimes is he takes an extrovert and an introvert and marries them together. I don't know if that's the case with you guys, but Oh, okay. Yeah, and she's an extrovert, right? So, right. So, yeah, the glory of that is, right, like, man, I need to recharge my batteries. I want to stay in. I want to go out. Ah, let's invite people over. Let's get everyone out of the house, right? Just, yeah, just, yep. Wonderful. Wonderful tension. Other things? Impatience, yeah. Which is funny you say that about yourself, because I see you as a very patient person. So obviously the Lord has been doing a lot of work in and through you, right? Which is good. It's, you know, I don't think of you as an impatient person at all. That's good. Let's see, online, anyone online have some personality traits? Tori says humor. Yeah. And hard-headed. Thank you for being so introspective. I can, yeah, so in the same lines, Tori, I can be overly critical. See last week's sermon. But yeah, no, I can be overly critical at times. And what's, oh, Deborah says stubborn. And Melissa says, patient given stubborn. Yeah, we can all have that, I guess. Those are all wonderful. God has made us all unique and all different, and it's a wonderful thing to have those personality traits that are so strange and so weird and so contrary and all that stuff. However, you know that it causes friction, right? It does. If you have someone at church, at home, at work, who is a total go-getter, and I'm gonna get this, and I'm planning, I'm dream visioning, and I'm gonna get everything done, and then you have someone who's like, you know, I'm more of a manager, and I just want to skate on by. Like, you know, I don't want a vision cast. I just want things to function, and I'm good with that. That causes friction. That causes tension. And here's the thing, as opposed to any other organization on the face of the earth, we are not bound together by similar personality types. We're not bound together by similar hobbies and interests. How many of you are into comic books? A handful, okay, right? Yeah. Not everyone else, right? That's okay. We're not bound together by our hobbies and our interests, which would tend to make friction less because you can focus on the hobby or the interest or the sport or the job. No, we're bound together by the blood of Jesus Christ. And what is beautiful about that is that we have people from all generations, from all walks of life, from all socioeconomic standing, and that is a wonderful thing that Jesus says, you are all one by my blood, unified by the Spirit of God. And that's a wonderful thing. But the fact that he brought us all together is very difficult because we're very different, right? We are incredibly different. And so that causes friction. And sometimes, and if you've been in a church for any amount of time, you know, sometimes that results in irreconcilable differences. That friction, those personality traits can sometimes result in absolutely irreconcilable differences. What should we do when we have irreconcilable differences, disagreements with other believers, with another believer? As we continue our journey through the book of Acts, not a topic we think we would find, but here's what happened. Acts chapter 15, verse 36. After some time had passed, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let's go back and visit the brothers and sisters in every town where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they're doing." Okay, so this is good. Remember, Paul and Barnabas, they went out and they did this wonderful missionary journey. They had a lot of persecution, and yet they decided, instead of running away from the persecution, they went back into the towns where they were worst persecuted and encouraged the other believers with their own persecution. It was incredible. They used their pain to encourage other people to continue to be faithful to Christ. So counterintuitive. I don't know if any of you have tried to use that challenge that we gave you 2 weeks ago with that. It's really hard. But that's what Paul and Barnabas did. I mean, these guys have been ministering in Antioch. They've gone down to Jerusalem together and fought a theological battle together. They've gone back to Antioch. They've gone planted churches all over their neighboring towns and cities and islands. And they've had an amazing time. And this is what great Christians do. Essentially, what they want to do is go back and encourage the churches that they start. They want to encourage other believers. This is what great Christians do. And this is what we can do now, even with COVID, right? Before, invite you over to the house, or let's go out and have coffee, let's encourage each other. But still, a phone call, an email, a text message, an archaic handwritten note from a time long past. If you've ever received any of those things that encourages you in your faith in Christ, you know what it means. It means the world. This is what great Christians do for others. And so this is fantastic. Of course, these guys, Paul and Barnabas, Barnabas and Paul, they've been doing this from the beginning. Verse 37, Barnabas wanted to take along John Mark, but Paul insisted that they should not take along this man who had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not gone on with them to the work. So, you guys remember the story? They get to Cyprus. They were fighting against this Jewish mystic who was telling lies and deception, and they were able to overcome, and the proconsul believed in Jesus when he saw the signs, and then John Mark was like, yep, I'm out of here. This is the same Mark who wrote the Gospel of Mark. We don't know why he left, but it says he abandoned them. So it wasn't like, hey, John Mark, why don't you go back and get us some supplies? Why don't you leave us? This was not an agreed upon thing. We don't know exactly what happened. But Mark decided, I'm gone. And presumably he went home to Jerusalem to his mom's house. So was he homesick? Was he like freaked out by this whole thing that had happened with the Jewish mystic and then Paul declaring him to be blind and for a time so that he could truly see Christ? Like, I don't know what happened. But he left. He left. And we don't know what that conversation looked like between them and Mark, but he left. And so Barnabas wants to take him along. And Barnabas is saying, look, this guy has a future, right? This guy has potential. This guy has some ministry gifting. We have to foster that gift, and we have to bring him along and encourage him in that. And Paul's like, no. No. The guy's not fit for this journey. We've already tried this once, and he left us high and dry. And we don't know exactly what his objections are. Maybe he doesn't have the perseverance. Maybe he doesn't have the fortitude. Maybe he's health problems. Maybe he has. Maybe he costs the money because he's like, yeah, guys, I'm leaving and I don't have money for bus fare. Okay, well, we can't eat for 3 days if we give you money for, well, not bus fare, but ship fare. Well, too bad, okay, we're not going to eat. We don't know. But we do know that it caused problems, and they have a sharp disagreement. No, this is not going to happen. A lot of you guys have been in church for a while. What are things Christians disagree about? Not theological. What are things Christians... So much laughter today. It's great. What are things Christians disagree about? Color of the walls of the new building, right? Yeah, like not something I would have thought was going to be a big deal, but it is a big deal. Yeah. Color of the carpet in the old building. No, but see, we all agreed it was horrible. Right? Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. So the aesthetics and what goes up, you know, like, oh, how many wreaths do we have up? And what do we put in the backsplash? And what kind of lighting are we going to have? Like, what kind of valances are we going to have? And are you impressed that I know what a valance is? Right? That all that, people disagree about that. What else? What else do Christians disagree about? Yeah, the new pastor. Yeah, absolutely. Wait, do I not know something? Right, yeah, no, so if you know, pastor, beloved pastor leaves, and you have to find a new one, right? Like, that could be a huge, yeah, we want this guy, that can split a church. In fact, in theological circles, we say if you don't have a vote of 85% or higher, do not go. Don't go, because all those people who, like, that's just asking for trouble. What else? How to spend money. Right? Yeah, typically not a theological thing, but everyone treats it like we are betraying our Lord and Savior if we don't spend this money correctly. Absolutely. Right? How, well, and it's more than that, right? It's how do we collect the money? Right? So do we pass a bag? Do we pass a plate? Do we have a box out front? COVID's taking care of that question for us for right now. By the way, if anyone comes across a really ornate box that we could use for offering, we've been talking about that, but we haven't found one. So if you find one, great. But how you take it, and I was in a church one time where they changed how they took offering, and oh man, it was like the end of the universe. And then once you have the money, how do you spend the money, right? And how much goes to missions, and how much goes to salaries, and how much goes into children's, and how much goes into youth, and what do you do with it? How much of it are you using on evangelism? How much are you not using it for evangelism? What are you buying new balances, right? Like all of that, like, do we pay down debt? Do we pay it for ministry, right? That, oof, so much tension. What other disagreements do people have in the church? Music. Yeah, absolutely. Do we allow the devil's drum here? Do we not allow the devil's drum here? We can laugh now because it's not the 80s anymore. But it's true. I mean, I heard arguments like that, right? What style of music do we have? Do we do hymns? Do we have hymn books? Can we project it? Do we do both? Do we do a mixture? And it still happens today. We have two services, right? One is the hymn service and one is the contemporary service, and never the two shall meet. Yeah, that's spiritually mature, right? Yes, that is a criticism. I mean, it happens though. Like it happens, and you have to do it, right? People disagree, and sometimes make compromise. That's compromise that you got to do. What else? What else do people Christmas and Halloween? Yeah, more so Halloween now too, right? Well, we're gonna have a harvest party. I remember, I shouldn't tell the story. I remember my church growing up, they were like, we're gonna have a harvest party, right? And they were like, you got to be a character from the Bible, and I'm like, yes. All right, I could be a dragon. I could be the unfaithful woman of Babylon. Insert King James name there. they didn't appreciate that. I could be death. I could be pestilence. Woo-hoo-hoo! I could be war, famine. All right. Did not appreciate that. I could be a good character. Guy in a robe, number two. Great. What else do Christians disagree about? Scripture or Bible versions? Yeah, Bible versions. Yep, that can be huge. Anything else? Yeah, yeah. Like children's ministry, right? Like, how do we teach the children, right? Do they come in here? Do they go out there? What curriculum do we use? Do we separate them by age? Do we keep them together in family units, which COVID's made that decision easy for us, right? Like all of that, right? Absolutely. Facilities, absolutely. Not seeing any extra comments on Facebook or YouTube, but that's okay. Yeah, churches will disagree about a lot of stuff that isn't theological. And sometimes those things are, you can't reconcile them. You absolutely can't reconcile them. If you think the children should be in the big service and children should be back there, like, how do you compromise? I guess you could say, well, if they want to be in here, or kids, do you want to be bored by Pastor Nathan, or do you want to have fun back there? My kids still are like, oh man, we don't have children's ministry. We have to sit in boring church. Ah, you're so boring, Dad. They really do. It's so offensive.
They say it with love.
Oh, yeah, no. nothing but contempt in their voices. What should we do when we have sharp disagreements with other believers? Irreconcilable. So this is Paul and Barnabas. They've been doing ministry for a while. They've seen people saved under their ministry. Of course, they're going to work it out, right? Verse 39, they had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. That term sharp disagreement is not found much in the Bible. It's usually reserved for when God is super angry with people who are being belligerently sinful. Not people who are like, oh man, you know, I messed up and I sinned. Oh, I'm so sorry. No, it's like when people are like, hey, I sinned. Guess what, God, I sinned. Ha ha, what are you going to do about it? Right? Then God had a sharp disagreement with them. That's the term that it's using. They have a sharp disagreement and they part company. I mean, this is tragic, right? This is like when the band breaks up. You guys know, if you've been around for any time where your favorite band, like, they break up or they're done, and you're just like, this is the silliest thing in the world. I shouldn't be all that upset about it. And then you're like, but I'll never hear new music from them again. And then someone tries to comfort you. Well, you could still listen to all their old music. It's hard. It's really hard. I don't know. It's happened to me a number of times. It's really hard when you're... Am I the only one? You're looking at me like I'm an alien. It's really hard when your favorite band breaks up. This is like best friends becoming estranged from each other. I've seen it happen. My goodness. Two guys who I were introduced as they were best friends in ministry together, they had a falling out that I knew, and... They are enemies to this very day. It's horrifying to see. Can't you guys get along? Can't you make an agreement? You can't compromise here. There's no compromise. Oh, we'll take half of Mark with us. We'll take John. We won't take Mark. Like, it doesn't work like that. There's no compromise here. Either we take him or we don't. He's fit. He's unfit. He's not half fit. It doesn't work that way. We've experienced that. If you've been in church for any amount of time, you know what it's like to have an irreconcilable disagreement with believers. And it didn't happen with Paul and Barnabas, but oftentimes with us, it becomes sinful, right? Because you can disagree about the colors. You can disagree about how we do ministry. You can disagree about evangelism, right? We didn't say that one, but does anyone think we should not be doing evangelism? Right, yeah, we all agree. Now, how to do evangelism? Well, why aren't we doing radio ads? Why aren't we doing TV commercials? Why aren't we taking out billboards? Right? Why aren't we doing more social media stuff? Why aren't we going door to door? Like, well, I think we should be doing it Halloween style, right? Like, I think we should, right? All of these things that we could be doing. I think we need to have more events to draw people in. Like, all of these things. Like, and you only have so much time and money, so you can't do them all. I think we should be distributing food every day, right? I think we should not be distributing food. It's not effective, right? Like, all of those things, right? They're not theological, they're not moral, but we're fighting over how to do them. And for Paul and Barnabas, it didn't become sinful, but for us, it often does, doesn't it? When you have a disagreement about the philosophy of ministry of a church or a fellow believer, because then you start, let me just say me. So then I start thinking like, oh man, I try to start filling in the blank for their intentions, like they don't even really care about Jesus, right? And now I'm harboring untrue thoughts in my heart. I don't know. You could probably sit down with the person and talk, but I didn't. You have anger, you get frustration, and then, you know, you want to talk it through with somebody else, so then you slander the person out loud. Well, you know, and all she wants to do is have fun and everything, and I no skin in the game. And it becomes sinful. And the truth of the matter is when you have a strong disagreement with someone in the church, it hurts. I have no doubt both Paul and Barnabas were hurt as they split apart. And when it hurts, well, if you take, you know, if, like, you guys have done this before. You're hammering some, you slip and you hit your thumb. Ah! Right? You do whatever you have to do to never, ever do that again. It hurts so bad. Many people, they get hurt so bad by the personal disagreements in church, they just walk away and they never want to do anything else. I mentioned it last week, and I'll probably mention it a number of times. We are one of the least churched communities in the country. Grand Traverse County is on the top 100 of post-Christian unchurched people in the country. This is one of the hardest places to do ministry. And I've seen it. I talk to people that aren't part of the church, and I get it. A lot of them, it's multi-generational. Like, they had some sharp disagreement with people in the church, and I'm never going to put myself or my kids through that again. Or they wanted to do this, and they wanted to spend money on that, but I wanted to spend money on this, and I'm out, I'm done. And they walk away. And I understand it. It hurts. I've had personal places where I just irreconcilable differences with ministry leaders in my own life, and it hurts to this very day. I was driving over this morning and just thinking about some of those conversations I've had with people, and I'm like, man, this still hurts. This is like 2 decades after the fact. It still hurts, and it's still raw. So many of us just quit. What should we do when we have irreconcilable differences with other believers? Fortunately, they didn't stop. Verse 39, they had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. And Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed off to Cyprus. That's the same city that Mark had departed them from, or the same island that Mark had departed them from. But Paul chose Silas and departed after being commended by the brothers and sisters to the grace of the Lord. He traveled through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. So they both did ministry. Like, and I don't think the scripture is here saying like, well, one did better than the other. They both did ministry. They both continued to serve Jesus. They both went back to the towns and the cities that they started doing ministry in and revisited them to encourage them. They both did ministry. They didn't quit. They didn't say, I'm sure, because they're human beings. When they parted company, they're not like, okay, well, I'm happy. This 5-year relationship I've had with this person that we've been in the trenches, we literally bled together. I'm fine. Everything's fine. I'm sure, oh man, I'm so frustrated. I'm sure they were feeling frustrated. I'm sure they were feeling angry. Maybe one or both of them wanted to give up, but they didn't. Even though they couldn't come to an agreement, they still chose to serve Jesus. When you have irreconcilable differences with another believer, they can't be reconciled. There's no way you can come together. You cannot possibly work together anymore. Serve Jesus somewhere else. Don't give up, like so many of us are prone to do. Don't give up like our community largely has. I know it hurts. I know it's hard. I know it's painful. Choose to serve Jesus anyways, whether that's in the church. And I'm not like, we don't have a perfect church. I know we don't, right? So there's going to be these things where we have here in this church where we're just going to come and we're going to beat each other up and we're going to disagree about stuff. Fine, right? And if you get to a point where like, man, I can't do this anymore. Well, there's other places that we could serve in the church. Serve there. Or if you come to a place where it's like the leadership, and you're like, man, that pastor can't stand him, which, understandably, sometimes I can't stand myself. So I have to edit these sermons in a podcast later. Like, that's so hard. So it's so hard, and you're like, I can't do it. Okay, well, fine. Just don't stop. One of the disagreements people have in church right now, face masks. Oh, right? Face masks. And you know what one of the worst things just to be really transparent here. There's people, they're like, well, you guys wear a face mask. We're not coming to church. Okay, fine, you can do it online. Yeah, I don't like doing it online. Okay. So I check in with people, and they haven't been going to church for a year. What does that do to a person? I know what it does to a person. We need to worship God corporately. We absolutely do. I plead with people. Well, go to another church. Like, please, go to another church. Like, I would love for you to come to our church, but if you can't come to our church, like, go to another church. Don't give up on Jesus. Don't walk away. Well, I'm not giving up on Jesus. I can worship Jesus out in the woods. I can worship Jesus in my home. Yeah, okay, but like, you're starting to give up everything. You really do. We need to corporately worship Jesus together. And yes, if you're online, that counts, that matters. We need this. The Spirit works when we come together to worship Jesus. We need to come and we need to sit under the authority, not of me, but on the Word of God. We need leadership in the church to guide us and to help point us in the direction. We need to come together. We can't do everything on our own. We need each other to evangelize. I can't do this on my own. Are you kidding me? You guys know more non-believers than I do. Most of my time goes into the church. I need you. We need each other. Giving. I know this sounds self-serving, but it is taking me decades to get to the point where I joyfully can sacrificially give to the church. For the longest time, it was like, write that tithe check and
trust in you, God, I guess.
And I'm not proud to say it, but the joy of giving to something larger than myself, the joy of something of giving to something that's will last forever, the work of God through the local church, that probably did not come until a few years ago for me. It's hard. But you isolate yourself and you're like, well, I can just worship God in my house, in my basement. Yes, you can worship God, but you need to worship Him corporately. Well, and I can just give to what? Church, the church is the only thing we can give to that will last into eternity. Everything else I invest in is eventually going to be done. We need each other. When you have irreconcilable differences with another believer, still serve Jesus somewhere else. One of my personality traits is that I want everyone to like me. Like, it drives me nuts when people don't like me. And there are a lot of people who do not like me. It just drives me nuts. I'm like, it drives me nuts when people don't like me. And I'm like, I don't like you, or I don't even care. Well, I do care. It drives me nuts. But I have to realize that at the end of the day, not everyone's going to like me. Not everyone's going to go along with me. We're going to have personalities that clash. I understand that intellectually. I don't understand it emotionally, and I probably never will. But when things don't work out, I can't use that as an excuse for me to say, I'm walking away from all of this. We have lived far too long as a country of believers, well, a country with believers in it, where we feel like, well, I'm out. And when we get hurt by a church or hurt in a church, we say, I'm out. I'm not going to serve Jesus. You have to serve Jesus somewhere. So whether this is something that is pertinent for you today or important for you tomorrow, or important for someone in your life, we need to encourage people. Look, if you have irreconcilable differences with another believer, fine, I get that. Serve Jesus. Serve Jesus, serve in His church. Find a place to do it. It's worth it. It's hard, it's painful, it's difficult. But you can't stop serving Jesus. What's interesting is at the end of the story, you might say, well, maybe Paul was right because the story follows Paul, not Barnabas. But you know, Dr. Luke followed Paul, and Paul was the apostle. So it makes sense that he would follow him. And maybe that's why, you know, maybe St. Paul's right. And I don't know, a short 10 years later after this, Paul is writing that John Mark is a trustworthy worker for the gospel and that he should be commended. So something changed within that time frame. And somehow old wounds were reconciled. And maybe that'll happen with you, maybe it won't. But you can't stop serving Christ. Don't stop serving Christ, no matter what. Let's pray. Father, we come to You, and we all come to You with different places of joy and hurts and pains. And it's really easy for us to just say, I'm done. I'm going to walk away. I don't need Christ. I don't need the church that He instituted. I'm fine on my own, but Father, we are not. So I pray that in the midst of any of the pain that we are feeling, we will serve Christ faithfully. I pray in the midst of the joys that we feel, we will remember to serve Christ. I pray that when we have disagreements in this church, You will help us to try and reconcile. We will sit down and talk with each other. But if we can't, we will still choose to serve Christ. Father, I pray that as we are about to take the Lord's Supper together, that Lord, you help us to, Father, you help us to realize that you sent your Son, King Jesus, to die on the cross for our sins and rise again so that whoever puts their faith in him can have eternal life. Lord, we are taking this communion, these elements, as a reminder for all you have done for us and all you continue to do in and through us. I pray that as we reflect on Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, his shedding of blood for the forgiveness of sins, that we will be filled with an inexplicable peace, an inexplicable joy, and that as we humble ourselves, you yourself, Father God, will exalt us so that we might do the work that you've called us to do for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Prepare our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.